2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians the 5th chapter. Carlos, are you back there? There he is. Have you introduced your wife to everybody yet? Would you do that, please? Fantastic. And praise the Lord. Good to have them here. And she speaks poquito English. We met yesterday at the wedding and didn't carry on much of a conversation at all. But anyway, praise the Lord. Carlos looks like he is happy. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. All right. 2 Corinthians 5. I was delighted yesterday when we had the wedding for Joe and Laura. And I was excited when Pastor Saul chose the text, and it was actually this passage of tonight's message, and chose the text. It wasn't the charge to the couple, it was the message, the plan of salvation for the congregation, and did a real good job explaining the text, but it's a great passage. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, we are talking about a time for missions, and tonight we're going to talk about the message of missions, the message of missions. The Bible says in verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And Father, we thank you for that truth, and that we can be made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, that certainly our own righteousnesses are not enough to get us to heaven. And I pray that we would understand that that is the message that needs to be spread in our neighborhoods, at our workplaces, in our schools. It needs to be spread in our city, in our county, in our nation, and all across the world. And we thank you so much for that truth. Please bless now the preaching of thy word. Speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we started with our missions conference, started the month with our missions conference, and then I preached on the following Sunday, the mission of missions, and that is the seed, spreading the seed, which is the word of God. The missionary of missions, we are witnesses. We are to witness of what God has done. Therefore, you'd have to be saved to be a missionary of missions. And then we talked on Wednesday night, started with, we'll have three of these, talking about the ministries of missions, different ministries that we support, and showing some videos and talking about them, and then talking about some things about that. And then we talked about this morning the money for missions, and it takes money. It doesn't, you know, it is amazing when you think about God could just make everything happen. God could easily, God could just make it all happen. God could, as with the people in the book of Exodus, God could have very simply spoken, tabernacles there. God could speak, temples there. I mean, God could do all of that, and yet God told the people he wanted them to give, he wanted them to provide everything for the tabernacle. And you know, what an amazing thing that God would let us have a part. And so it's true with church. It's true with our church work. It's true. I mean, God so many times helps us and does all these things and blesses us individually. And but he still, you know, he still says that the church is a storehouse. We need to bring the tithes and the offerings and bring them in. And then God distributes them accordingly. And so the mission, spreading the seed, the missionary is a witness, telling what happened to us, the money we give by faith. As far as missions are concerned. And tonight I want to talk to you about the message of missions. I use this passage. It just really is a good summary of the message. And I'll show you three things. A message of regeneration, a message of reconciliation and a message of representation. Number one is a message of regeneration. Praise God for regeneration. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And, you know, I was 17 when I got saved. I was by my bedside. I prayed. I had heard how to be saved. People had talked to me. I'd had a couple of youth directors and people talk to me about needing to be saved. I knew all the things you had to do. And so by my bedside alone, I prayed and trusted Christ as my Savior. And poof, I became a new creature. Now, the interesting thing is I got up from getting saved and I looked in the mirror and I was still me. So physically, I did not change. Physically, you didn't change either. Your name did not change as far as all of a sudden I didn't have a new birth certificate as far as Social Security number and all that. Those things did not change. As far as I could tell, I still was... human, and still am, older, but yet still a person. But something did change, according to the Bible. And John chapter 3 says that you must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who was a religious guy. Nicodemus, who was a guy that I'm sure had done many right things and many righteous things. But Jesus told him, you must be born again. And you're born the first time of your parents. You must be born again the second time, born from above. And literally, that means to be re-gened. You know, we have my old genes were from Earl and Mary Rogers. And those genes were passed on to me through my physical birth. And then my new genes, I had to be re-gened. I needed to receive eternal genes from God Almighty. And that's what regeneration is. Our message is to tell people. Our message is to go out into the highways and the hedges. And our message is to go to other countries and tell them, hey, you can be a new creature. In fact, if you're going to go to heaven, you must be. You have to be a new creature. You must be born again. I am so glad that's in John chapter 3. I'm so glad it's very clear you cannot be saved by religiousing your genes. Okay, that doesn't work. My genes are in good works. They're just doing good work. No, it doesn't work. Doesn't work. You must be born again. You have to get regened. Amen? And again, gene, G-E-N-E-S. The idea that so many are trying to alter their genes with good works. So many try to alter their genes with religion. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. You must be regened. You can be saved. You can be new. You can live a life and not have the guilt of sin and the weight of sin and the fear of the judgment for sin. No, you can be saved and be a new creature. Romans 5 and verse 12 again is a passage that we use often and almost used for this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so those old genes passed on by mom and dad, and by their 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 mom and dad, and all the way back to Adam, those old genes, they are infected with death. And we are all the product of that. Every human being is the product of that. And because we sin, we are the product of death. That is the end for us. And so we have to get new genes. We must be born again. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And again, you know, missions is all about that. You are telling people, and we think it's bad in America. Try to imagine going to countries where it is totally work salvation, where it's completely, you know, you have to do this or else. You have to work, or you have to turn over a new leaf, and you have to do that all the time. By the way, if turning over a new leaf got us to heaven, we'd be turning over a new leaf all the time. We'd have to, because we sin. And again, the thinking in most of the world today is, well, religion will get me to heaven, or good works will get me to heaven, or something like that. Jesus made it very, very clear. The Bible is very clear. The message that we must take to the world is a message of regeneration. It's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. For by grace He is saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a message of regeneration. It is a message that only God can do that. We cannot make that happen in our lives. God, though, can regene you. God can make you a new creature. And so, number one, the message of missions, it is a message of regeneration. Number two, it is a message of reconciliation. This is a wonderful thing to tell the nations. A message of reconciliation. And all things, it says in verse 18, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. What is reconcile mean? It means to make friends. It means to make friends. And it says He's reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we could not be God's friend. Without Jesus dying on the cross and paying for our sins, we could not be reconciled to God. It's not possible. But it says very clearly that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What's that mean? That means we can help people be reconciled to God. We can have a part in that. The message is a message of, hey, listen to me, this isn't just something for Americans. This isn't just something for Baptists. This isn't just something for religious people. This is something that God has provided through His Son, Jesus Christ. I was God's enemy, and now I'm God's friend. And you can be God's friend too. And it's up to us to be able to help people, to show them they can be reconciled to God. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. What's a missionary do? He's out there practicing the ministry of reconciliation. What's a soul winner doing? He's practicing the ministry of reconciliation. What's a prison preacher doing? He's preaching about and involved in the ministry of reconciliation. What's a Sunday school teacher doing? It's all about reconciliation. It's telling people who are, the Bible says, enemies of God, at enmity with God. It's telling them, hey, you don't have to be an enemy of God. You don't have to be at enmity with God. You can be God's friend. Amen. I'm glad today I'm God's friend. I'm so glad today that we can be friends. I'm so glad that sin, though my sin is what separated me from my God, I'm so glad that because Jesus died on the cross, my sin is blotted out, and I can be friends with God. Isn't that a blessing? Look at Romans. Well, let's go ahead and finish verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Look at Romans 1, verse 18. Here's why we have to be reconciled with God. Romans 1 and verse 18. And of course, there are many verses that talk about this. Romans 1:18, it says, for the wrath of God. You don't hear a lot about that today. I talked about it in Sunday school. You know, the wrath of God. Oh, no, God's just God of love. L-U-V, love. You know, God gets angry. I got news for you. If you've read the book of Revelation, and I would encourage you to do so, God, His wrath is going to be poured out big time. And the Bible says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 5 and verse 10, Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I mean, we were enemies of God. Now, I understand. You know, most people that are lost, they don't look at themselves as enemies of God. Most people that are unsaved, I mean, you talk to them and they would, I go to church. I talk to God all the time. These are different things you'll hear over and over as you talk to lost people. And it's like, hey, what if I could show you the Bible says that you're God's enemy? Oh, no, never. There's no way I'd be God. No. I know better than that. No, you're God's enemy. You're God's enemy because you sinned against God. Well, that means everybody's God's enemy. Everybody would be if it wasn't for Jesus. We all would be if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the only way we can be reconciled to God. We are reconciled by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that way we can be friends with God. Isn't it great to have God as your friend? Isn't it great to be able to talk to God and go to Him anytime, anywhere, about anything? We can be friends with God. And what a blessing to be able to tell the nations, you can be a friend with God. To be able to tell people that folks that practice offering their children as a sacrifice or that have their children pass through the fire and all these different things to try to appease who they believe God is, to try to somehow get in His favor. And what a blessing to be able to tell them, hey, you don't have to do those things. Jesus already died on the cross so you can be saved. You can be reconciled to God. You can be friends with God. What a wonderful thing. It's our message. It's why we send missionaries out. It's a message of regeneration. Number two, it's a message of reconciliation. And number three, it is a message of representation. And this is so important that we understand what it's all about. I remember when I first got saved, I remember thinking, okay, now what? And what a blessing to find out what. What a blessing that we can find out through the Word of God what is next and what is it all about. Because what an exciting thing to think that we find out what verse 20 says. It says, okay, so we have this message of regeneration and how people can be saved. And He had made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And I'm saved now. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about the guilt of sin. And the message of reconciliation, I'm no longer God's enemy. I am now God's friend. What a blessing that is. But now we have this thing of, okay, I'm saved. Why didn't God just take me to heaven? You ever wonder that? Why didn't God just take us to heaven? I mean, we would all be better off. Amen. I mean, to be totally free from sin, to be free of flesh, to be free from all these things. And yet, we have a third part to our message. The wonderful blessing of salvation is a great message to preach. But once people get saved, they need to understand. It says in verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And all of a sudden, the truth of why God didn't just take me to heaven when I get saved. Because He has a job for me to do. Now, we already learned that we have the ministry of reconciliation. We're supposed to tell others. And we talked last week about how we're supposed to spread the seed and all of that. But this is one of the great truths of Scripture. And that is, I represent Him. Now, there is a message of representation. Now there is this idea that, okay, there is a reason, there's a purpose for my life, and it's not just for me to do whatever I want to do. I have an obligation, and that is I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Now again, what a wonderful thing to be able to tell folks in other countries and to tell folks who are hearing how to be saved and they're hearing how that their sins can be forgiven and how they're a new creature and hear how they can be friends with God, they can pray to God, they can read the Word of God, and what a great thing it is. And then to be able to tell them, and now guess what? You're saved. You represent Jesus Christ here on this earth. Wow. And And as a new Christian, I remember the awesome responsibility that I felt as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. I represent Him here on this earth. Now, this message of representation isn't just that. In fact, I'll talk just for a few minutes about the other part of that. But I want you to understand representation. And I want you to think about it. Back many years ago, I worked when I was a teenager. I worked at a gas station, and often we would trade hours with people. We'd have different things we wanted to do, dates and all that kind of stuff. And I would trade hours with somebody, and I would work for them, and they would work for me. And when I worked for them, I had the same responsibility they had. And typically at our gas station, this is back in the old days. Remember when people pumped the gas? Remember when people washed the windshields? Check the oil, sir, and all of those different things. Well, this is the way it was. But we not only did that, we painted the curbs, we swept the drive, we washed the windows of the little building out there, and then the snack building and everything. I mean, we had a lot of different responsibilities. And so when I worked for him, I had his responsibility. Whatever his responsibilities were, I had to do those things. If he worked for me, then he had to do the responsibilities that were under my name. And I remember we had a fellow named Chuck. We called him Chucky. And one time I had Chuck work for me, and he didn't clean the restrooms like he was supposed to. He didn't paint the little curb like he was supposed to. And guess who got in trouble? I got in trouble. Why? Because it was my time to work, and he was there representing me. And I remember my boss, I said, yeah, but you don't understand. He said, look, it's your responsibility to get somebody that will work for you and do the job and represent you right. Wow. Boy, I learned a lesson. What'd you learn? Never ask Chuck to work for you again. And I never did. But here's the thing, though, as I think about representing the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be honest with you. I don't want to mess up. If I'm taking his place, now again, don't misunderstand me. I understand. We can't take his place. I know that he is God, and we're far from that, and we're far from perfect. But literally, he said that I'm an ambassador. I'm representing him. And I am here. The Bible says here, we pray you in Christ's stead. It's talking about in his place. And you know, when you think about that, it means that I need to be like him. You know, one of the great challenges of missions and our message is that we be like Jesus. I'm going beyond what would Jesus do. I'm talking about, I want to find out everything about him, and I want my life to be just like he would be. I want to speak as he spoke. I want to walk as he walked. I want to talk as he talked. I want to do all those things because I am working, I am here as an ambassador representing him. You know, that is not a strange thing because the truth is, he represented me when he hung on the cross. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why was he made to be sin? Well, he was made to be me. He was made to be sin. He was made to be sin like you and like me. He who knew no sin, my sin was put on him. He took my place. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only way that I stand today before God Almighty, righteous, is because it's in the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Amen. But that's because he hung on a cross with my sin. Listen to me, your sin, our sin. And he hung on a cross and he was lashed with the cat of nine tails until the blood poured and his body was in shreds. And he hung there with my sin, your sin. He represented me on the cross. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. We all should have. It's what we deserve. The Old Testament, over and over, you read it, and sometimes I'll hear young people, oh, you know, I got to this, you know, the book of Exodus and all the different things, and oh, and then, you know, the killing of this and the killing of that. Listen to me, don't just push that aside. Because when that lamb is killed, it pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said it best, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, our message of representation, it starts off with how he represented us when he hung on a cross. He died in my place. What a blessing to be able to go to Africa, to be able to go to South America. What a blessing to be able to go, as Carlos has, to Guatemala and to Central America, and to be able to go into our neighborhoods and into our factories and into our schools, and to be able to go all around our county, and to be able to go all to the ends of the world and tell people Jesus took your place. Amen. Isn't it a blessing when you're soul winning to get to the place where you say we're all sinners and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life? How? God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, can you explain that? Sure. On that cross should have been me. That's how you explain it. Amen. He took my place. He represented me on the cross. Every one of us deserves punishment in hell, but Jesus took it for us. We should have died on the cross, but we didn't have to die on the cross. Why? Because he died for us. Aren't you glad he didn't mess up in your place? I'm so glad he didn't mess up. One sin and it's messed up. One wrong thought and it's all messed up. Do you understand? He had to be perfect, without spot, without blemish. The Bible said he was tempted in all points. Okay, so think about ways we're tempted. Think about the things that we just always stumble on. I have somebody texting back and forth, I blew it again. It's like every other day. Oh, I blew it again. Pray for me. And think about the temptation and that sin which does so easily beset you. Think about that. And the Lord had that same temptation. Same thing. But he didn't give in. And had he? One time. Understand. He would have messed up in our place. But he didn't. He didn't. Do you understand? Hanging on the cross, and we can, you know, we preach about it, and there's no way in the world we can even come close to describing what it was like. We can kind of understand a physical beating, but none of us have ever been beaten like that. None of us have ever been hung on a cross like that. We can only sort of understand physical. We've had physical pain before. But we cannot imagine. He who knew no sin took my sin. Nasty, dirty, filthy, our sin, on one who's holy as he hangs on the cross. And he could have come down. And had he come down, then he would have messed up in our place and we would all die and go to hell. I'm so glad that he didn't mess up in my place. You see, it's a message of regeneration. You must be born again and you can be a new creature. It's a message of reconciliation. Praise the Lord. I don't have to be the enemy of God. But it's a message of representation. He took my place on the cross. He died in my place. He represented me on that cross. And now I need to represent him. And it all ties together so well in verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. He said, we pray you as if Jesus Christ were here right now. This is what he would say. It's in his stead. We're ambassadors. And that's how, you know, that's our responsibility now. As an ambassador, to represent. We are representatives of heaven for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm here. I am here to represent him. I am here to represent him everywhere I go. When an ambassador comes from another country, it doesn't matter if they're at Walmart or Walgreens or if they're at Wally's restaurant. Doesn't matter. They need to represent their country right. They often in Washington, D.C., where there are many ambassadors, you'll see people and they look like their country. They will dress like their country. They'll use the language of their country. I mean, they do a lot of the customary things. They have their embassies and all that and different legal areas. And they do all they can to look like their country and to be like their country. And the first time I realized that I was an ambassador for Jesus Christ, I thought, you know, I need to learn more about my country. So I can be like my country. We need to be focused on our country, our heavenly country. It's a heavenly, the Bible says. It's not an earthly country. We're not spending eternity on earth, folks. The Jehovah Witnesses think that, but we don't think that. We know better than that. We have eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to find out, hey, I'm representing that life. I'm representing that life, and I want to look the part. That means I got to have joy. Can you imagine if you represent, you know, so here's the ambassador to, let's throw out there the ambassador to England, and he's walking around in Washington, D.C., and he goes into Walgreens, and the people say, hey, how you doing today? He says, terrible. Wow, he's a grump. And then he goes over to Walmart, and the greeter greets him there and says, hey, good day. And he says, why? You know? And then he goes over here to Wally's restaurant, and the waitress comes up and says, can I help you? And he says, probably not. And so everywhere he's been, and he has a great big banner on him that says, I'm the ambassador to England. And everybody says, boy, they must be nasty in England. They must all be a bunch of grouches in England. They need tea time or something because this guy is a grump. And yet, do we take it serious that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ? You know, you hear it all the time. Well, you know, God looks on the heart. Yeah, but the same verse says God looks on the heart, says man looks on the outside. And I'm sorry, folks, we're ambassadors to men. Yeah, we are ambassadors to men, and that means we need to be kind, that means we need to have joy, that means we need to be modest, that means we need to have Christian actions, we need to have Christian attitudes, and again, we need to learn about our country and learn about our Christ, who we represent. We need to walk with him, we need to read his word, and we need to make it needs to become us. Just as James talks about looking into the mirror of the Word of God, that's what we need to do and find out, okay, I'm looking in the mirror of the Word of God and it shows me that I need to change this, I need to change that, I need to deal with this, and we need to deal with it. Why? Well, because I don't want to mess up in his place. He didn't mess up in mine. I don't want to misrepresent him. He didn't misrepresent me. We need to know about that country that we're representing. You know, we need to know the part. We need to talk about heaven, talk about Jesus, talk about the Bible, talk about spiritual things. So many Christians, they don't know. It should be automatic. And I always think back to my dad. Who was just, as a lost man, he was a nasty lost man. And he didn't want to hear how to be saved. And my dad was one of the toughest people, I think, as far as soul winners. And we've seen many, many kinds. You would not have wanted to knock on the door of my dad. He was just tough. And he just was not interested at all. He went to church enough to know, you know what? I'm not religious. I'm nothing. I'm not interested. I don't want to hear it. And Dad was tough. But I remember after Dad said to me, "Son, you will never talk to me about being saved again, or I will disown you." And I remember thinking, God, how will Dad ever get saved? I just didn't know how he could. I prayed for him sometimes overnight, all night long. But part of our life was, our lives were being changed while we were in Bible college, because we just were growing so much, and our lives were changing, and our talk was, praise the Lord, amen. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Well, that's great. Praise the Lord. And every time Dad called, it was just part of our lives. You know, folks, if it's part of your life to talk about Jesus, don't hold back. And Dad would call and he'd say, you know, son, such and such happened. And, you know, maybe it had to do with a ball team or something doing real well. And I'd say, well, praise the Lord. He'd say, well, how's things? I'd say, well, the Lord sure has blessed us. I'll tell you, it sure was a blessing today. We had a beautiful day while it was snowing here. You know, boy, it sure was a blessing. I'll never forget the first time my unsaved dad said to me, well, that sure sounds like a blessing. I'm on the phone. It's like, I didn't say anything, you know, because you don't ever want to, you know, because he didn't even, you know, I remember Dad one time saying, you know, something was a blessing. And I mean, it really was a blessing of the Lord. And it was like he wanted to say, praise the Lord. And he's unsaved. But it's just because that's all we ever talked about. Dad never heard a negative thing about college. And we had a few negative things. We had a few things we didn't understand. Dad didn't know anything about any of it. Never did. You know, the time I got campused, Dad never found out. They sent a letter to my wife and said, your husband has been campused. They didn't know how to deal with married couples back in those days. And it was so funny. But I'd get so upset. I got demerits one time for holding hands with my wife. And I would get so upset, and you know, Dad would call and say, "How's everything going, Dad? It's just great. Everything is just great. Praise the Lord. We're where we're supposed to be." Okay. But you know, that's again, there's only one reason for that. It's not fake. It's just getting to know God, amen, and getting to know that He loves to hear us praise Him. He loves to hear us talk about Him. Amen. And you know, so many Christians, you know, if we would just pray and read our Bible and listen in church and be faithful to church and let God work in our hearts and make us what we need to be, Christ-like. It the world, I mean, they're going to see it. I'm not out to impress Him. Well, then you're going to disobey God. It's not a matter of impressing them. It's a matter of man looks on the outside. They can't see your heart. You know, well, I'm saved and I know I'm saved, but do they know you're saved? Because that's who you're an ambassador to. Amen? You know, well, I'm saved. It doesn't matter what I say and how I act, and it matters to God. And it matters in your position as an ambassador. Thank God He represented me the way He should. And I want to represent Him the way I should as well. And you know, an ambassador, he needs to look the part and know the part, but he also needs to convince other people to come. You know, an ambassador, he's trying to talk people into his country and it being a wonderful country. Hey, our country's the best country. There is no better country than our country. I often worry about, you know, Americans that are ambassadors. You kind of wonder, I wonder what they're telling. Well, our government shut down. Anyway, but, you know, it's to convince other people. And as an ambassador, it's to say, folks, you got to understand, heaven, that's where we're going. Heaven. You ever been there? Never been there. But God tells me a whole lot about it. It's a wonderful place. You know, we talk about funerals, and I to this day, I do not know how an unsaved person ever smiles at a funeral. There just is nothing for them there. And yet for us, whoa, wow. You know, there's good stuff at a funeral. You know, we're looking at a casket And we're looking at a body, knowing that that person's rejoicing on streets of gold. You know, we have that hope and that blessing. And all we need to do is tell other people about that. You know what? Hey, it's not so. It's wonderful being a Christian. It is wonderful being saved. It is wonderful to have God as my Father. And our main job as His ambassador is according to this, it's reconciling people to God. He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what I should be doing, representing Him. What would Jesus do if He came upon the woman at the well? Well, we know what He did. The Bible says. Amen? You ever come to the woman at the well? Oh, she said, I've been married a bunch of times. Jesus said, yes, I know. Yeah. What did He do? I have water. I have living water. You drink my water, you'll never have to drink again. Amen? Yeah, that's what, okay, an ambassador, I drank that water. I've had it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm still very satisfied with that living water. Glory to God. And you know what? As an ambassador, I want to let the whole world know. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's so really when we think about, okay, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I'll tell you what He'd do. He'd say to Nicodemus, you know what, Nick? You must be born again. You know any Nicodemuses? Religious folks that are lost? You must be born again. You know, that's what we need to do. And that's our message, the message of missions. We're not saved to just exist. We're certainly not saved to just do our own thing. We are saved so that we can represent the Lord Jesus Christ and take our message of regeneration and our message of reconciliation and our message of representation all across the world and let everybody know as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's our message.